Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Happy Mama Movement podcast. I'm Amy Taylor Cabaz, mama, journalist, coach, and founder of Mama Rising. This podcast is a space of community and collaboration. We gather stories of matrescence, motherhood, womanhood, and change told by our Mama Rising coaches and mothers around the globe, in the knowing that through our stories, we can begin to heal and change the way the world sees, values, and supports mothers everywhere. So, welcome to the Happy Mama Movement.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh, do I have a conversation for you today? I have done many, many interviews over the years, and this one you're about to hear was one of the most personally transformative I think I've ever done. And that's because in this interview with author Abby Kamen, we talk about our expectations and beliefs about who we should be, our expectations and beliefs of other people around us, and also the dynamics of mother and child, and how we really all are just human beings trying to figure this out as we walk along this highway of life, as she calls it. This conversation brought tears, it brought realizations and huge aha moments. And whether you're at the start of motherhood and matrescence, or like Abby, and I know many of our listeners now have adult children and are once again thrown into the time of life of questioning, who am I? What do I believe? What is this all about? I know you are going to get so much out of this conversation. Abby is an artist, an activist, and an author, and her book is called Generation We, Healing Together to Create Better. She has also beautifully offered 3 copies of her book to you, to our listeners. So make sure you listen all the way to the end to hear how you can get a copy of that. I know you are going to get so much out of this conversation. Enjoy. Abby, thank you for joining the podcast and for bringing your amazing insight and memoir and book to my global community. I'm so excited about this conversation.
Me too. I'm thrilled to be here.
We have so much to talk about and navigate and discuss. In fact, I just had to stop myself from diving in quickly before we hit record because, like I said to you, I'm really excited about this conversation for our community. I think it's something we're ready to talk about, and it takes many of the themes that we discuss on this podcast to another level. So before we dive in to all of the beautiful insights that you bring and ask us to think about, can you share with us just briefly your experience of coming to write this book and how that came about?
Of course, and that would have very much to do with my mother and my children. About 7-8 years ago, I found myself in the throes of an existential crisis. Who was I? Where was I going? And why should I give a shit? It coincided with me becoming an empty nester, but that wasn't what really happened to me. And so those two things sort of got conflicted. And I just started to really have an analysis of where we were all standing and why. So I just leaned into what was happening to me. And if you read through the beginning of the book, it's kind of an intriguing story of how it all came to be and has some mysticism and serendipity involved too. But what really happened is I was left with me. And I think all of you who are parents and who are now questioning, who am I in this journey? For me, that really did become a big question because I had a lot of labels and then I had to challenge those labels once things shifted for me. And so where I had taken time off to be a full-time mom, which is something I've come to not really be a, we need to expand on what that looks like for people, but so it was, mm-hmm. and I'm quite a bit older than likely your audience. I also had a great experience with it. It also was a place that I got to really be with my kids, be present as a parent. And when I say present as a parent, I mean as a teacher and as a student. And that is how I approached my journey with my kids. So when I hit this sort of crisis, I was invited by the universe to now go into more of everything that I had learned and that I had taught.
I love that you describe it as an existential crisis. I feel like that's how I started here as well, except mine came at the very beginning of motherhood when my first daughter arrived 16 years ago now. I was like, whoa, what just happened? I don't know who I am anymore. What is life about? How did I not know about this? I don't know what I believe, how to do this. I don't even know if I should have done this. It was such a scary and discombobulating time that led me to ask all the questions that we're now here asking on this podcast and in my work. And one of the big things
that's so interesting.
Yes, one of the big things that I found so incredibly hard at that time, Abby, and you speak so beautifully about in your work, is that I was confronted with who I thought I was, my identity, and also all my beliefs around what this experience in this life would be like. And none of it was lining up.
Yes.
I went into this with such core beliefs of who I thought I would be and who I thought she would be and who I thought my husband would be and all of it. And when that didn't line up, it was so unraveling. And you talk about in your book, belief grief. Can you explain to us what that is? Because gosh, when I read that, I was like, oh, that's what that was 16 years later.
Yeah. And you know what? It's so interesting, the flip of our timing, because I so desperately wanted to have children. I had to go through infertility to get them. And I was quite a bit older when I had them as well. So I was on a very different timeline, 34 and 37 when I had my children. So by the time they had arrived, I'm like, oh, this is who I am. Oh, now I understand. Didn't matter who I was before. This is who I am. And now I have this whole runway of freedom to, and I'm also an artist and a writer. And I'm like, I just have the freedom to create with them. And in the formative years, it was quite exciting. It was everything. I just had an open palette to really explore everything about who I thought I was and why I was here. I had a very archaic belief of that this was my calling, my purpose. But it did bring every ounce of me to that calling. I would say all my brains, all my previous background, which was, you know, oddly in finance and construction, which would seem to have nothing to do with this, but it all of the pieces just lined up. And then around 16, 17, 18 years later, when I kind of hit my mark, I was now, shit. Now, who is everybody? Who am I? Who are they? Who is my mother to me? And so when we talk about belief grief, I was certainly challenged with that as they grew older. And I'll invite everybody into a story that I tell when my kids are like, I don't know, maybe 3 and 6. And we're at the movie theater and we're watching Lilo and Stitch. It's a rainy day. And, you know, we're just, what a delightful thing to do, you know, have our snacks and cozy into this movie. And it shook us. That concept of Ohana and family and nobody getting left behind. The three of us ended the movie. We were sobbing. And we had no idea why. I just drew them into a bear hug and I said, that's going to be us. And then the road took us. My son is queer. My daughter has some neurodivergency. My mother and my relationship got complicated. Certainly my relationships with other family members got complicated because life gets complicated as it does as we all go down the highway of life. Friends are complicated. School is complicated. The obligations involved are complicated. How do you parent the right way? Well, I'll also let you into a secret, which likely you all know, there is no right way. You'll find your way. And so now you have to go through all the beliefs that you thought you knew. And in my mind, they are currently offered by what I call the patriarchy. And the patriarchy is the patriarchy that includes the matriarchy. Because for us to think that this is any one gender is a lie. We have all been complicit in binary thought patterns that come through religious beliefs and national beliefs, and all of our beliefs is about color and race and misogyny and homophobia and ableism and fat phobia, and the list goes on and on. And so we're all really trapped with, where are we in that? How do all our colors shine and our authentic selves come to the forefront? And how do we help each other get there? And that's where belief grief comes in.
Because there is a grieving process when you realize the beliefs that you carry, but also everyone around you carries, the world carries. Yes. When you're questioning that, challenging that, or more likely, these beautiful children that we have been gifted with, you know, almost push us crash landing into questioning the beliefs. I've got a couple of kids that are doing the same for me. And gosh, they are such a gift from the universe to make me challenge all of my beliefs and also challenge all the people around me. Like, no, that's not okay to think that anymore. But I love that we're acknowledging that although that's what we're here to do as parents, as human beings, it is still an incredibly uncomfortable process to realize everything you thought is not perhaps correct, or see the people around you, perhaps the older generation, struggle so much with this change. And I know that's something else you speak beautifully about, is this conscious parenting of even later in life, like these changes that we need to have as parents that that this generation is asking of us. And when you see the people around you not being able or willing to challenge their beliefs, that's another type of grief, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, you've really just circled in on all of it. And we're, I want to say, you kind of, you touch base on conscious parenting. And I was just parenting by the seat of my pants. But what I established was my version, likely, of conscious parenting. We parent each other all the time. My children parent me. I parent them. And that has been our relationship from the get-go. So anybody out there with young children, I really invite you into something that was quite successful for me. They're just humans. They came here to be with you. They came here to teach you. They came here to learn from you, and vice versa, just like we do even when we don't have children, with everybody in our world. So what I do is I pull parenting out of the direct parent-child relationship, and I just invite us in to be humans on the highway of life, however we got gifted to each other. And I will say also, as part of that, what I learned is we're always choosing our family. Nobody's given, whether it's biology, whether it's adoption, whatever. What you have to do is buckle in whenever, as young as you humanly can, and you will need to stay there throughout the story of you. You will need to intentionally choose each other. And that means seeing each other in all of your complexity. And I think that was the greatest gift that my children and I were able to offer each other, was that ability to, when it sort of came to task, and I will say that it was my son in his teen years and his journey into his queerness that said, and then into a journey into the early college years, somewhat of a dark place because he was so afraid to be his full self, and so many complications. I'll let you all read about that and how that happened to be complicated in my life, but nonetheless it was, and him finally inviting me to shift with him. He said, Mom, let me tell you how it's going to go. You want to help me? You will have to shift. You will have to really hear me and not put a whitewash over it. I mean, hear me and then grow with me. I mean, wow. Right?
Yeah. For those that are just listening to the audio, you'll see that my eyes are filled with tears right now. Can we just stay in this moment for a moment and talk about, as a mother, what that was like for you to have that invitation, and how you navigated that, because again, I'm thinking of so many mothers and parents that are listening right now who may have just started their own realization of where they need to go for their children, or it's on its way, because they all do it in their own way, whether it's what they choose, who they choose to be with, what job they want to do, when they like the. So how do we do that, Abby?
Yes, I have an answer. I've been researching this. I've been noodling on this for a very long time. You radically love each other. That's how you do it. And you get therapy and you go, you just hold on to each other and you say, you know what I know? I know I love you and I'm willing to learn and you're willing to teach. And therefore, we're going to go. And that changed at every moment in time. He taught me. I taught him. His sister got in the act. She has some other stories that are part of her. She's got some ADHD that we found out much later in her life that explained a lot of her childhood. I mean, we're all humans. Myself, right now, I'm just kind of waking up to the fact that I might have some depression that I need to deal with. And my children have so gently said, Mom, you took us to all these places. You've grown so much and we've watched you grow so much in the work and in this wonderful book that you've created about us. It's okay that this is also your story. No shame. Go to get help. We'll hold you. It's a two-way street. So I want to include myself in the journey. And that was us throughout the way. Once that kind of opened the door, and I will tell you, we had a close, close relationship to begin with. And I also had a close relationship with my mother. It was just complicated. And I know she's in the beyond. She passed in 2021. And she had lived here the last 6 years of her life. And I knew that it was for us to, first of all, it was intentional. It was always her and me, even though I have other siblings. We were the core of that story. But that time that we got to spend together when we were both entering this different stage of our life, of evolution, not even chronological age, she was stubborn about it. And she didn't want to always meet me in the evolution. But I kept pushing to her almost last breath. I'm like, you can't keep treating me that way. I love you, but you have to see me. And not always, she had some narcissistic qualities and in her so much wanting the best for me and the perfection for me and my children and all of that perfectionism, you know, right then and there, everybody, I'm sure, you know, your hair starts standing on edge. That's just who we were. That doesn't have to be who we're becoming.
What do you do though, if in your own process of healing, of being so radically brave in as a mother, as a woman, to be who our children need, but also who the world needs us to be now, and the older generation or your friends or your partner is not able to go there with you. I'm thinking of over the last decade. I mean, they're two different conversations, the partner and the family. So let's start with the family. So often, Abby, in the hours and hours of coaching I've listened to with women, one of the core struggles is with their family or their family-in-law and how differently they see their children, how differently they respond to these beautiful grandchildren and what they need or how they're going to parent. How do we do that if the family members around us are not willing or able to look in the mirror and come with us?
You know, and here, this is what I did. I don't know if it will work for everybody. Everybody has to really listen to their own voice and their own family dynamics, because I would never want to disrupt anybody's family circle and their intentions. So with me or anybody else that you are listening to, and as you read our stories, you have to find your place in the story that was ours with the people that were on our team that were our story. For me, just like I had to choose my children, I had to choose everybody else, and they were invited in. Sometimes at the end of the book, I go into energy exchanges between us. I think most of us live in an exchange between toxic and limited energy. The status quo looms, right? Fear usually controls the relationship. On any given day, any one of us are in fear from all of the, you know, pains of the patriarchy and our struggle to, you know, kind of get out of this cocoon and be our butterflies that we're aiming to be. But for, you know, all a time as we knew it, we're in this cocoon with these restrictions. So
can we pause here for a moment and just explain the three different types of relationship energy that you talk about, just so everybody understands. Yeah, because it was so, again, I was like, oh, yes.
Thank you. Thank you. And yes, let me start. Let's start at the beginning. The three types of relationships that I call out are toxic, limited, and infinite. In a toxic relationship, and it's okay, yes, toxic is in the word toxic, but loosen your grip on toxic. It's okay to know that you too are going to be toxic. We all are, as we unlearn where we came from, and we all have fears. It's an okay and honest thing about our personalities. And what happens in a toxic relationship, this is fight or flight. The one with the loudest voice wins, or the one who can't take it anymore leaves. So we just sort of stand there, and then we acquiesce to whoever has that loudest voice, and then they triumph. And that's in my whole concept of victory and survivalism. When we're in a limited relationship, we're sort of in a detente. We've got a set grouping of status quo that we're like, okay, fine. I agree to those parameters. And when we're here, we sort of hum along great. You think the same way that I do. We agree that that's trust, and vulnerability doesn't usually enter the program, but at least we have a trust that this is what it's going to look like. And I think most of us are stuck between the two. And I found myself on any given day going back right when I thought there was trust. And I was like, okay, we're in a limited situation. A shoe would drop on my head. And I'm like, oh, great. Now we're in a toxic relationship. Excellent. Fear has entered the room. And, you know, it's like Pac-Man eating me alive. So
that's a great clarification that we move in between these, that it's not, it doesn't stay static. That's great.
And once in a while, and I hope that this can be more of what we have established, and is infinite relationship. And in an infinite relationship, which post my son inviting me into his world, my son and my daughter and I were able to and continue to nurture and cultivate is who we really are. And who we really are, it's an infinite energy. And I like to think of it as an infinity circle. There's just energy flowing between us. You get upset, I know it's going to be okay. We're going to talk it through. If I need to give you space, I'm going to give you space. If I need you to call me in, and everybody gets to be who they are, and we get to talk about the boundaries. Oh, you know, actually, Chad or Samantha, I'm really feeling vulnerable today. Please, like, give me space or whatever. They will say to me, Mom, just talk it out with me. Don't even offer an opinion. Just hear what I'm saying. Or this happened. We analyze this all the time. I mean, we're like the Socratic method in our house. We talk to each other a lot. And I found that the talking, my mother really taught me that. I talked to her a lot. And then we just expanded the landscape of that and on the boundaries, because the boundaries are just as important as the landscape. Nope, we're not going to go there. Any one of us will say, take that to therapy. We are not, this is not the place to go there. I will only mess you up. You need to take that to therapy. So opening up those doorways, then you get into the infinite energy, and that is so supportive. And when one of us changes or questions or whatever, like the other day, I was in a bit of a dark place. And my kids were like, as you would tell us, we see you, we love you, we want you to call our family therapist. We think that there is something that happens to you, and I think he can help you. I mean, what a beautiful thing to have people hold you in that way and be able to say that we just see you and we're going to hold you. It happened to be my birthday was coming up, and it just kind of, and it's nothing about birthdays per se, because I think they're beautiful and wonderful. The world is in a crisis. We're all digesting a lot of very scary information, and it, you know, and it did very much help for them to A, see me, and then B, offer me the same tools that I have offered them. And for me to not be defensive about it and say, thank you, I appreciate that.
That's what I was about to say. Gosh, I could talk to you for days, Abby, because one of the things that we talk a lot about in my work, in my coaching training, is this internalized idea of the good mother. You know,
right?
We're told that in second wave feminism, we released that expectation that just because we're female, we're going to be a wonderful natural mother. And we're told that that is no longer the case. And yet scratch the surface of pretty much every mother on the planet, and she has this internalized idea of what she should look like, sound like, and feel like to be a good mother. And when you were saying just then, that your children saw you in that struggle and lovingly called it out. There was a part of my internalized good mother, and I'm being completely honest here, that would be like, ooh, and maybe it's because my kids are a bit younger, maybe it'll be different when they're adults, but there was an internal reaction that was, ooh, you shouldn't see me like this. I need to have my shit together for you because I am your mother. No, it doesn't go away.
No, and what I want to tell you is, and the reason that my kids are here with me now, and I so want to invite everybody here, is from the day they entered this earth, I knew we were on this road together. Please don't differentiate with who you are as a human and who they are. You are all on this highway of life. And I think from just even speaking with you, you know, our chronological age and our spiritual age and soul age are not the same thing. And so, of course, with logical respect to chronological age, you're not going to have a three-year-old drive a car. But that three-year-old is wise. They are wise beings. And they're, when you invite them to see you, you can see them. And I was on that journey with my kids without even knowing. That was the one thing that I will say innately, I knew without having language from the minute they got here that we were just going to figure it out. As I said before with that Lilo and Stitch movie, we just knew who were these three people sobbing in a movie. We weren't sobbing mother and her children. We were sobbing Abby, Chad, and Samantha. We're here. We love each other. We're going to figure it out. And throughout the story of us at any moment in time, that was what I did do differently than my mother. With her, there was, she felt she was unreproachable. I am your mother. Even though sometimes she'd open it, not really. She was the mother. I was the younger person. That was how it went down. Once in a while, I would say, hey, mom, you're doing it. Don't do that way with this sibling or that or whatever. And she'd be like, okay. And she fluctuated on that. Some, you know, but what I learned to do is to stay there always with my kids. And at every turn, we just invited in new information. So even when it was really hard, I mean, like it was hard when I hit an existential crisis. They had to also walk there with me as I had to walk there with them through the many trials and tribulations of their life. But I'm so glad that you asked that, because don't put that barrier between you and your kids. They're just you at a different age and time, and you're just partners. And that's what I talk about in my chapters about parenting. It's literally called On Parenting. And I immediately say, this is not about how to actually parent. This is how to be human.
Yes.
And the way we learned it before was very didactically, like kind of what you're saying. This is how it goes. These are the rules. This is what it looks like. This is how it floats. And I changed it to interactive. From the minute you can realize it, be interactive. Toss the ball back and forth and keep tossing it.
Yeah. How beautiful. What an absolutely beautiful way to look at the relationships within a family, with us and our children, to really see it as humans, two, four humans on the highway of life together, rather than I have the answers, I'm here to teach you, you're, you know, in a way it's the patriarchy, isn't it? It's the hierarchy of I know better than you because I have been on this planet for longer, therefore you need to listen, but also therefore I need to have all of the answers. And that when I think back to that existential crisis of when I became a mother, it was one of the biggest confronting realizations was that I have absolutely no idea what I am doing. And the world expects me to know what to do as a mother. And I have no idea. So being who I am, I'm like, show me the books. I'm a journalist. Tell me who can I interview about how to know how to do this? And it was this unraveling of this identity of there is a right way. I should know how to do this. I need to be perfect in this role. That has, you know, continued to completely transform my life. I want to circle back because we never got to the answer, because I jumped in and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So let's circle back to this question of you're on the highway with your kids. You've reevaluated and re-understood the relationship between you and your children. You are totally willing to go there with radical love. And yet there are some other people around you who may not be able to do that with us. We were talking about the mother-in-law or maybe the partner. I just want to make sure we answer that, because I do know how much women struggle with that when they're willing, when they so want to do this themselves, but maybe others can't do this with them. It could even be something bigger, Abby. I know you've experienced this as well, where it's the community, your country, the school that you're in. What do we do? Yes. What do we do when I can see you take a big sigh with that? Yes.
Deep cleansing breath. Boundaries. Mm. In a word, boundaries for your sanity and for what you are seeing and what you can bend to and what you can't. And only you know. And that takes, I think right now we are all called to see that from our broadest perspective. And it is hard. It is so easy to cast blame and shame, and somebody's doing something to hurt you and they just don't get it. And I think, and likely they don't, but that's really not your concern. Like what they think and what they think of you, that's really not your concern. But there are some real situations where it is absolutely your concern, because maybe you have an in-law that then takes your child and parents quite differently than you. Is there an opportunity to maybe not have that in-law take that child? You got to start to get creative. And I do recommend walking with a trusted therapist, because not all therapy is the same either, or a trusted friend. And mostly within the trust of yourself, where can you loosen your grip, and where is it a no-go? I cannot tolerate that. That is not going to work for me. That is not who I am. And I think these are going to be hard times when we're going to have to make some hard choices and decisions about who we want to be in the world, not who somebody thinks we're going to be. And that, my friends, is hard. I don't have an easy answer, but I'll hold you while you go there.
Oh, I love that answer. Thank you. And speaking to you, I'm so grateful that you could speak on this podcast today, because I really want this to be a place where we hear the wisdom of women who are, you know, chronologically or experience-wise, you know, have walked this path a bit more than we have. So many of the listeners are at the stage of earlier parenthood, and one of my deep beliefs is that we have lost that village of elders. We have lost this communication between the generations in a kind and compassionate and loving way, just like you just did. Of, I promise I'll walk with you. I promise that, you know, I'll hold you through this. I think so often we feel so isolated in this work of trying to do this differently. And if only we could be sharing and hearing these stories better.
And also to offer a branch of hope there, because it is easy for us to be nostalgic and say we've lost something. I don't know that we found it yet. I think maybe some communities that we've heard from other periods of time have come closer. But I don't know that we found it yet. I think we're here. I think we get to find it now. I think we get to set new stories that haven't been yet. And that's why the book is called Generation We. I don't think we've been Generation We yet, but we can be now. And we can take all the complexity of all of our colors and beautiful, authentic selves and start to really champion them. And I think that you're also seeing that on the world stage, is that people are really fighting for liberation, and that liberation is physical, and it's also spiritual. This is very spiritually liberating time, as the patriarchy is cracking down and getting scarier and scarier, because survivalism, it really doesn't serve us anymore. Surviving means victory. That means I win, you lose, or somebody wins and somebody loses. But thriving is Generation We. That means we don't have to win or lose. There's no hierarchies. We're just trying to figure it out. Oh, you have a leadership idea. They're terrific. Let's collaborate and let's go with that. We want to change our mind. We have the chance to. We outgrow something. We let it be. Something's actually working. We're like, hey, that worked. Let's bring that back in. It loosens the grip on all of it. And that's what we need to do, starting with ourselves. I want to end this on who are we, because we, all the people listening right now, are also individuals that need to remember that we are individuals. We are not just a mother, a wife, an accountant, a daughter-in-law, whatever. Take all the labels. We're not black. We're not white. We are all of those things, but we are also a soul. And I think that all of the labels we have right now are, whether they offer us privilege or oppression, they're all the same bar to the cage, because we don't know how to work with them yet in the complexity of who we're becoming. And that's what I want to invite people into doing. The first person you have to radically love is you. And I know that that's not going to be easy. But just like we might hear the patriarchy coming out of ourselves to somebody else, that's the same voice in our head that is offering us that same crap of why we didn't do it right, why we didn't do it faster, how come I woke up late, how come I ate too much, how come I overslept, like all of the things, I didn't turn in the project right, how come I can't handle the kid and get to work on time and everybody else seems to, all of that bullshit that we hear in our head, we have to stop it. We have to say, I am human, I'm not a robot, and I'm doing the best that I can, and I also have the capacity to learn more. And that's all I want, is to learn more and thrive more for myself and those around me, regardless of my relationship with them.
I have been doing a lot of these podcasts for a really long time. I think this is over 250 episodes of this podcast and over 200 episodes of my previous podcast. And this is hands down one of my most favorite conversations, Abby. Thank you so much for what you have brought. It gives me goosebumps. And you have generously offered for three of our listeners to receive a copy of your book, which we will organize. And what I will ask people to do and pop it in the show notes is share what you got out of this conversation on social media, tag both Abby and myself, and we will choose three listeners to receive this book. Deep, deep gratitude for your courage in sharing this story, and gratitude to your children for allowing them to share their story too, because I feel it is, it's the three of you have come out and shared your story with all of us so we could all hear it and learn from it. So thank you.
And before I go, I'm going to give a shout out to my mother from the beyond, because she too, she started this and she sort of set the pathway for me to bring it home. She said to me, and I kind of close with this, that the gift of love was mine to give, if not me, who? And I say that in an extension to all of us, if not us, who? So I'll leave you with that. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful moment in time.
Thank you, Abby. Thanks, as always, for being a part of our Global Matrescence community. Please take a moment and make sure you're subscribed to this podcast in your podcast player so you can always be notified of our next episode. And if you would like to work with a coach on your own experience of matrescence, please go to mummarising.net and explore our directory of phenomenal coaches, workshop leaders, space holders and facilitators around the globe. You can also explore our Global Matrescence Foundation and consider donating so a mama in need can access the support of one of our coaches and still ensure that our coaches receive the income and support they need so they can continue to work in this way. And finally, if you would like to be a coach, a facilitator, and a matrescence activist in your own community, jump on our wait list for our next intake of the Mama Rising Facilitator Training at mummarising.net. Thank you for being here and being part of this movement. Until next week, bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.